David Woods. You're a pastor and evangelist. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Sorry, Deirdre. We're working on getting David Woods on the line right now. So bear with us.
No problem.
You can keep going. I'm just trying to get David on the phone right now. Hi, this is Matt. I'm the producer back at WTAN.
Yeah, so we're just going to wait for David Woods to come on. He's an evangelist and a pastor from a young age. His mother noticed that he was gifted, and he says she noticed that she was gifted, or he was gifted, to hear God's voice. And so he's gifted in prophecy and evangelizing. He travels around with his family, his wife, and 5 children to preach the gospel and prophesy over people. He founded Koinonia Ministries Fellowship, and he's also the president and founder at Cascade Christian Broadcasting. So we're just going to wait for him to get connected, and we will talk to David Woods. So there's definitely been incredible, influential evangelists out there. Definitely, if you've heard of Billy Graham, he's a very well-known evangelist, and he's changed many people's lives. Do we have David Woods on?
Not yet, unfortunately. I'm still trying to connect with him, so bear with me.
Okay. Yeah, so as we're waiting for David Woods, we just can talk about evangelizing and what is that. That's spreading the news, the gospel of Christ, going around to different places, as he told his disciples, to go into all the world and spread the gospel. So I definitely appreciate that David Woods is out there evangelizing and talking to people about faith and about the Lord. And it's so important to continue to spread God's message all throughout the world. So an awesome thing you can definitely do.
David Woods is now on the line with us. David, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I was listening. She was doing a great job at my introduction, and then boom, all of a sudden I lost your call.
Awesome. I'm so glad you're on.
Yes, I'm in Phoenix, so I'm a few hours ahead of you.
Oh, wow. Are you there on a trip and going to a church and preaching there?
I am. I'm sitting at the big lobby of the cathedral, the Healing Cathedral, that was built in the 1950s, and it's quite a historical building in Phoenix, Scottsdale. It's close to Scottsdale, and a man had written a book in the 1946, and it's quite popular with most preachers today, called Atomic Power with God. 1946 is a long time ago, but it's with the idea of fasting and prayer. And even today, it's popular. Intermittent fasting is popular among people. But it changed my wife and I's life so much that my wife wrote a book on fasting, because she went on a 30-day fast with water only. And it's quite amazing. Yeah. You see all these preachers, in the 1940s, 1950s. You know, he wrote the book in 1946. And then Oral Roberts had massive 30,000 people under a tent in 1950. Needing healing. And these preachers discovered that fasting, long periods of times of fasting, actually seeing diseases cured, people that had madness was leaving, and they couldn't actually present it to the whole world what their secret sauce was, because they would think they were going nuts. But it actually worked, and even in today's society, the scientific science proves it out today that fasting can help. But that's where I am. We're in meetings every night in Scottsdale, Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, and we'll be going till Saturday. But you mentioned I grew up 12 years old. My mama saw that I was gifted in Portland, Oregon, and I've been doing the same thing. This is Deidre, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Deidre, I've been doing the same thing for all my life since I was 12 years old. I'm 55 now, and I've not deviated. And so I tell people, you know, if you want me to run a mortgage, I can't do it. If you want me to run a, you know, put a roof on a house, I can't do it. But I can pray for you, and I can see God give you a miracle.
That is awesome. I just want to, like, go back to what you were saying about fasting, because that's so true. I feel like intermittent fasting is a trend, but I think people don't realize that it's a spiritual component of what the Lord told us to do. Jesus said,
there's a silent part of your tongue that nobody really talks about. It's the middle of your tongue. Mm-hmm. The edges of your tongue have different tastes, bitter, sweet. There's a whole breakdown in the book that he put out in 1946. But actually, the family is still alive here in Phoenix. Franklin Hall has gone on now. It was quite a while ago. But the family has carried on the books. They sent them to 140 countries around the world. It's very popular. It's called Atomic Power with God Through Prayer and Fasting. And so I asked them just the other day, I said, you know, it's very popular, intermittent fasting. And they said, well, you know, we've been preaching fasting since before it was even known. They said, we don't really recommend intermittent fasting. And I said, how come? And they said, well, intermittent fasting, what it does is you have what they call a fasting organ. And the fasting organ is from the tip of your tongue all the way to your bottom. And if you were to stretch it out, everybody's fasting organ mechanism, your esophagus, your intestinal tract, all of that would stretch out to about 30 feet, according to his book. And what happens is when you go on a three-day fast, and his book says it'll break any addiction, cigarettes, alcohol, heroin, any kind of addiction that you've got in your body. It, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to beat the devil. I'm going to fight the devil. But yet they can't fight the Big Mac. And so how are you going to fight the devil when you can't even fight the Big Mac? So they say the three-day fasting, really with God, shut in with God, water only, not bubble gum, not a chewing breath mint, nothing can touch your tongue. Because what happens is when anything, any organic matter comes on your tongue, you have billions of cilia all through your stomach, all through your digestive tract. And the moment something hits your tongue, immediately it wakes up the stomach. So fasting is actually putting your stomach to sleep. And my wife talks about this in her book. And it has changed our life. It's changed our ministry. It is why Oral Roberts saw some mind-boggling miracles. A guy by the name of A.A. Allen, if people are 70, 80, 90 years old that are listening, they would know A.A. Allen. He was said to have driven out more demons out of people's lives than any other time before. And their secret sauce was fasting. Their secret equation was fasting. But they could not tell the people because, well, I don't know if it was because they didn't want to tell the people or if the people, it was too complex for the people to know. But today, you know, it's out of the box and people know. And people can fast, and we believe water only. You know, Deidre, you hear people say, well, you know, we're going to fast TV, or we're going to fast the internet, or we're going to fast Facebook. This center here doesn't really believe in that. Moses is the only one who did what's called a dry fast, where he went up to the mountain and there was no water, no food. Even Jesus didn't even record that. So a dry fast is very dangerous. There have been people that have died from a dry fast, meaning no water, no food. But yes, it is possible to live without water without food for a long period of time, but it's not possible to live without air. So, you know, there are certain things you can't live without, but food is not one of those. And I know I sprung this on you here. You weren't planned on talking about fasting, but we're here at the Fasting Center in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's very powerful. It's very life-changing. It changed our lives. It changed our ministry. And every great minister, you can go right down the list of 1950, Jack Coe, Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, Katherine Kuhlman, Amy Semple McPherson, you name it. And by 1950, they got this book called Atomic Power with God, and it changed the history and the course of preachers and the way they prayed over people. Well, I've been traveling for all my life, and we go from city to city with my children, my five children, my wife, and we'd head out from Portland, Oregon. We go all over the United States, and we minister. So that's what we do.
That's awesome. I would think that The only time I ever did a 3-day water-only fast was when I went to a discipleship school. And I did not know what you're saying, because sometimes I do coffee, and because coffee makes you not hungry, but that's probably not very good. Or I'll just fast to like 12 and then eat after, kind of like intermittent fasting. But I definitely have been wanting to do more fast, so I'm definitely, thank you so much. I'm glad that you brought this up, because I think a lot of people really do need to know that. It is kind of a secret. It's something people don't think about.
Yeah, Deidre, people can go to my website if you don't mind me giving it. It's PrayAmericaLive.com, PrayAmericaLive.com, all one word, lowercase, and they can pick my wife's fasting book up there. It'll change their life, especially if they're doing any kind of ministry.
Right, so like you said, when you were 12, you heard God's voice, you became an evangelist. What has made you not turn back? Like, you've seen miracles, you see how God uses you. Like, what is it like to travel and tell people about Jesus and to hear God's voice and share his message with others?
Well, that's a great question. It's not all glittery. It's not all exciting. Sometimes it's rather lonely. But I think that what has kept me on the road and kept me doing what I do is knowing those experiences that I've had along the way. I remember as a 12, 13-year-old boy traveling with what was known as the Catherine Kuhlman of Asia. Her name was Nora Lam. People can find her movie called China Cry. TBN put it out years ago. I traveled with her all over the world as a child and sang and ministered in her big crusades, up to 30 and 40,000 people in Taiwan and different countries. And I remember laying hands on a woman who had a tumor, what they called a goiter, the size of a grapefruit on her throat. And I prayed over this goiter, this tumor, and it disappeared under my eyes. And it shocked me. It made me, I thought maybe she gagged on it or swallowed it. I didn't know really what happened. But after all, I was praying for the tumor to leave. But to see it with your own eyes never leaves you. And I think what we have is we have a generation today of young people that perhaps they go to church and the only experience they have in church is gossip or criticism or backbiting or whatever. And they really never see a powerful demonstration of God or the move of the Spirit that actually, you know, impacts them to have that keeping power. I've held on, Deidre, to those miracles, and they literally are miracles, those supernatural manifestations in my life that keeps me going. Here I am, 55, now I'm dragging my children all over the world just like my parents did. I thank God that I'm doing what I'm doing. And it's very sad to see the condition of the world that we're in. But people have got to come back to God. They've got to have that personal, real relationship with the Lord. Many people know who Jesus is, but they don't really talk to him every day, and they don't expect that God can talk back to them. I think that's what's kept me on the road, really.
Yeah, and what do you think it will take? Like you're saying, like I've seen miracles. I've been to revivals. And, you know, nights where people get healed. Like, I've seen healing. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I've seen the change. Like, I've seen the actual miracles and the supernaturalness of God. And that's what keeps me, because I know in my heart, I know God is real. But like you're saying, there is a new generation of not seeing miracles in church, not having revival nights or deliverance ministries. And so, like, what do you think it'll take for, like, the church to get back to the supernatural power and believing in that?
Well, people say, you know, well, we're at the last days. You should expect it. This is what's going to happen. But even after what I call, what I believe, the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus to take the church out, to take Christians away, I believe that there's going to be even another move of God after the rapture. But there's two wars that are going on in a person's mind right now. Somebody's driving along in the car. Somebody's listening in their garage. And there's a war. And it's not all the war with the devil. Some of it's the war with your flesh. And when you've got these two things ganging up on you, you've got to find ways to battle this war, battle this battle, go after it and say, through Christ, I'm a winner. Through Christ, I can do all things through Christ. And God can bring you out of poverty. We've had homeless people listening to us on the radio. We have Pray America Live. You know, our radio program goes all over the nation. We've had homeless people listening in Cincinnati. And they've got their boombox radio, and they're thinking, how can I get up off the street? How can my life ever change? I'm at the bottom of the bottom. But if you, Job 22:27 says, make God your gold, make God your silver. And if you'll make God your gold and your silver, everything changes. If you stop going after gold, if you go out, stop going after silver, make God your gold, make God your silver, like Job said, then everything begins to change. That's why you have those experiences, Deidre, is because you make, you put God as the first priority in your life. Is that not right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Amen. You're going to get me preaching, girl.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome because I was also young. I was 17. You know, I grew up in church. I was part of the children's choir, the dance ministry, and I always believed in Jesus. But it wasn't until I was a little older and, you know, you're a teenager, you're going through all the emotions, but I started to feel empty inside. And I think some people don't know that there has to be a transformation. You have to be born again. So when the Lord called me to come to him, I said yes. And there was this born again, there was this transformation. I think that's the biggest thing, honestly, in my generation, from what I've seen in church, there's no transformation. And I think people just really need to see miracles, signs, wonders, or just really just get into their Bible. Because Jesus walked around healing so many people, casting out demons, everything he preached about, it was amazing. And I just love the Lord so much. And I think that that has to come from, like you're saying, the person within, that war, that it's either, okay, you can be in the world and not of it and put your whole heart in Jesus. And to do that really young is really important. And also just to say yes and keep following him, because it helps you out in your life and your career and where you're going. And so you've chosen this path, and I know you've seen some incredible miracles. You have like a testimony. I said you did say one that you prayed for someone and you saw a miracle happen. Is there any life-changing experience you've had as an evangelist?
Yes. Let me tell you, first of all, that in every person, there's a God-shaped hole in your heart. And it's not round. Mm-hmm. It's not rectangular. It's not triangular. It's God-shaped. And heroin can't fill it. Meth can't fill it. Alcohol can't fill it. Sex, drugs, popularity, money, nothing can fill that hole except God. And when you get him in that spot, then you become fulfilled. I went to Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and the Lord used me. I had the pastor stop the truck, and I jumped out of the truck, and I prayed over this woman on a stretcher. And six guys were carrying her on a stretcher, and I did not know she was dead. Had I known she was dead, I probably wouldn't even have stopped the truck to pray over, but I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, stop the truck and pray over this woman. So I had the preacher stop. I jumped out. I laid my hands on her. She cough sputtered, turned her face and blinked her eyes, and all six people hit the ground in absolute fear. And they said, she was not sick. She was dead. And I said, well, Jesus raised her from the life. They were shocked. I was shocked. That was the first time I ever seen a dead woman raised. Now, I went to Fort Lauderdale, and I was in Fort Lauderdale. I'll be there every spring. I go to Fort Lauderdale, and I was in Fort Lauderdale just recently, about 3 years ago, and we were on a Sunday morning service, and the nurse was waving in the back of the church, and she stopped, interrupted my preaching. She said, Brother Woods, she said, we can't get a pulse, and there's no breathing. And I looked at her. Her head was down, and her tongue was sticking out. So I jumped down off the platform, rather pretty good-sized church, and I ran over to her, and I laid hands on her. Now, interesting thing is, nowhere in the Bible does it support closed-eye worship. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about closing your eyes. When Jesus raised the dead, he had both his eyes wide open. Looking back, I recognized that both times my eyes were staring up into the sky in Port-au-Prince, staring up into the ceiling in Fort Lauderdale. Brother Hagin says three of the gifts of the Spirit must be present in order for the dead to be raised. And we know from Romans and we know from Hebrews, we need to go on past the doctrine of salvation and even raise the dead. This is a sign. It's a wonder. Somebody says, well, I wonder how that happened. That's a wonder. Sign, wonders, and miracles. And so, well, I laid hands on her. I rebuked the power of death. I commanded it to get off of her. And she started coughing, her eyes started snapping, her tongue snapped in her head, and she didn't want to go to the doctor. Somebody called the paramedics, and she didn't want to go. She said, I'm fine. but she had been dead for a good 15 minutes. And she's still going to church today. She's still living. She can testify what Jesus did in her life. But these are unusual occurrences. These are things that science and medicine can't explain. And I can't explain why a 40-day fast works. I can't explain why a 3-day fast works. But I know that the Bible is true from cover to cover. And those are two experiences that are probably some of the most monumental experiences besides casting demons out. We need more men and more women in Tampa, Florida, in Clearwater, in St. Pete, Pinellas Park's the first place I ever pastored a church when I was young. We need more men and more women to rise up today and recognize that it's not a textbook God. It is the power of God unto salvation. And if there was ever a time, Deidre, that people need to rise up with their personal experience with God, I don't think I'm anything really special. I think everybody listening can press into God all the way until God starts using them.
Yeah. Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, we have a few minutes left, and I definitely would love to see more of your stuff. And I mean, I'm in Florida, so when you're in Florida, I would love to go to one of your services. If you could give us your website so we can follow you and see where you're going to be next.
Yeah, through the winter, I have a nationwide program called PrayAmericaLive.com. It's a time where every evening I take time to pray with people on the radio. I believe in radio. I'm a big radio man. I love radio. I'm building a new radio station in Olympia, Washington, up where close to where my house is. But through the winter, they can listen to my live broadcast from my home. I have a radio television studio. They can Facebook me, David R. Woods. My wife says that there's 500 David Woods on Facebook, and she said, of course, honey, you're the best-looking one of them all. So that made me feel good. But I'm the guy with the suit and the tie, and they can find me on Facebook. They can find me on YouTube. And, of course, we'll be live tonight from the Healing Cathedral in Phoenix on our Facebook. But I would love to have a pastor call me and say, David Woods, come to Tampa. Come to St. Pete, because I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale this coming spring break, and I would love to stop either coming or going with our family. Now, listen, Deidre, I don't travel alone. I've learned this over the years. There's a lot of snakes in your garden. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be used by God, you got a target on your back. And there are a lot of snakes in the garden. So I have purposely make sure my wife, you know, she travels with me. My children travel with me. And we totally go for God. And we're totally sold out. I told somebody the other day, I'm a lifer for Jesus. And there's no turning back.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's all the time we have. I appreciate you coming on. I'm so blessed by this conversation. You have a great rest of your night. Thank you.
Thank you, Deidre.
Bye.
Did you ever think about hosting your very own radio show? Here's how.
Hey, Tampa Bay, did you know you can have a one-hour program on the Tantalk Radio Network for less than the cost of one 60-second announcement on many Tampa Bay stations? That's right. We'll put you on the radio for less than the cost of one 60-second announcement on many stations. Check it out today. Use your program to promote yourself, your business, or someone else's business. Call Lola Jean, the broadcast queen, 727-510-7622. That's 510-7622. Call Lola Jean now to check out your Tantalk network program. In addition to network radio, we'll stream your program in audio and video all over the world. Call Lola Jean now, 727-510-7622. Call today. Your network one-hour program can start tomorrow. Broadcast your message in audio and video on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dawn Reese with Hollywood Connections. I am looking for the next beauty queen reporter or reporter. You can audition live on the air with me. Call 727-871-7788. You could represent your city, state, or country and have your own half-hour show with me at this station. All ages accepted. Get ready for memories and red carpet events. I'll see you at the station.
Hi, my new show on Tan Talk Radio. On Saturdays from 3 to 4 p.m., I am Dawn Reese with Hollywood Connections. My show is exciting. We have major stars, major artists, major movie producers, agents, casting directors. I even help cast for Home Shopping Network. You might be on that show as well. We have new talent segments, Be Discovered. Remember, Hollywood Connections on Saturday from 3 to 4 on Tan Talk Radio. I'm Dawn Reese, your host. Tune in.
Did you ever think about hosting your very own radio show? Here's how.
Hey, Tampa Bay, did you know you can have a one-hour program on the Tan Talk Radio Network for less than the cost of one 60-second announcement on many Tampa Bay stations? That's right. We'll put you on the radio for less than the cost of one 60-second announcement on many stations. Check it out today. Use your program to promote yourself, your business, or someone else's business. Call Lola Jean, the broadcast queen, 727-510-7622. That's 510-7622. Call Lola Jean now to check out your Tan Talk network program. In addition to network radio, we'll stream your program in audio and video all over the world. Call Lola Jean now, 727-510-7622. Call today. Your network one-hour program can start tomorrow. Broadcast your message in audio and video on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, folks. This is Matt again over at Tan Talk. I have Teresa on the air with her beauty tips. Teresa, the floor is yours.
Hello, this is Teresa Velasquez, and I'm with the World, Dr. World Pageant. And I have a lovely VIP guest tonight. So I wanted to introduce her. Her name is Dr. Pamela Brownlee. Hi, Dr. Pamela Brownlee. Can you hear us? Oh, my goodness. You should see her. She's just beautiful. And she is a doctor. She's also competing. Is this your first time competing? Wow. How do you like it? Fantastic. And we have Lee on right now, so I'm going to put you on pause for a minute, and I'll be asking you some questions. Lee Knox, at the studio, could you play Lee Knox's song? It's called Promise You.
Yeah, hang on one second.
I'm going to play it. Anyway, this is Lee Knox, the amazing genius. He's written like 1,000
songs. We'll get back. There's not many words left for me to say. You already know you're bright as ball.
And I'm sure you're coming up with some new ones as we go. I'm like, wow. You know, it's quite amazing. How long have you been doing this? So what do you do? Tell us. You're a musician. You are a writer, composer. You're a singer. You do all kinds of stuff, huh?
Two books, and author.
An author as well, yeah. Amazing talent. And I see that you're quite busy going to places to perform with your band. What's the name of your band?
Encore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it looks like you guys have a lot of fun together when you get together.
We do. Tomorrow we have a
birthday for her. Oh, happy birthday! We gotta sing. Hey, Duffy, are you there? Leslie? Ah, welcome. Let's sing a happy birthday to Lee Knox. He's on here. Okay, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Lee. Happy birthday to you and many more. Wow. That's something. That's great. So you're going to celebrate it later with friends? Or just stay home? Yeah, a little bit.
No, today I'm just preparing for tomorrow evening. But somebody else is going to
Yeah, we always start the show with your songs. They're so beautiful. I just love them. They're different genres. You know, I still have to sing the songs, that dance song from that you composed. And then that's very fast, up song. And then there's you're singing things like gospel. You're going into what other genres do you do? Blues?
The genres are
amazing. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. I like it. I like to work with some more upbeat kind of music, you know, real like dance stuff. So we'll look at that. But anyway, we have Leslie Duffy here, and we have the lovely Sama Brownlee. And I wanted to go into Lakeisha, Lakeisha is another one that I wanted to tell you about. She is a director. She loves to do films. She has a film coming out. She's now at post-production. It's called Brave Chop. And last time I played a little bit about that. Are you, can we play that, Brave Chop? Do you see it? Hello? Hello?
What's wrong? Yeah, she was doing too much.
No.
She wasn't doing too much.
Brandy, Brady's just losing the shop.
What? How do you know that?
Okay, so what took me so long was I had to buckle her in. And when I reached over, I saw some papers. So I took a picture.
Wait, you took a picture of her mail? Are you crazy? You know that's a federal offense, right?
Are you serious right now?
As a heart attack.
Just look.
I'm not about to be your accomplice.
Will you stop that and just look, please? We're not gonna have a job. Or a shop.
What the hell?
To her tonight, so I have to wait till tomorrow.
Anyway, yeah, that's Great Job by Lakeisha Carman, and she has her crew. They finished the film, and it's going to go into distribution Netflix, so we'll give you that in a second. Get it. But she's quite into it. I went to classes with her at Delta College when we took radio and television.
together. And we had a lot of fun doing the project. Anyway, I also wanted to introduce these lovely ladies. We have some music to play as well by Nathan Hutchinson, London, UK. And I will play that later. But I wanted to introduce Dr. Pamela Brownlee. And well, we already introduced you, but what is it that you do? I know it's the first time doing pageants, and you are absolutely gorgeous. Yes, you are. Yeah. What is it that you do? You're a doctor?
I am a doctor.
Yeah.
I am a plastic surgeon. And then I was recently introduced to the doctoral pageant, so I am a doctor.
Yeah. Right. That's exciting. So pageants are a lot of fun. You know, it's not just about being in a pageant. It's all the things that come along with that pageant. And the platform that, you know, you do and how you help the community and all the fun stuff that goes along with it. Yeah. So what made you become a doctor?
I just always. I will say when I was younger, I actually fell off my bed and spent past my whole 6th and when I was growing up, my whole time I had constant reconstruction surgery.
So that's great, and we also have Leslie. Leslie, Duffy, you are also in the pageant. Your title is Dr. Oklahoma. You're Oklahoma, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And you are, exactly, what is it that you do at this time? What got you interested in pageants, that kind of thing?
Sure, just like Dr. Brownlee, I'm into family practice training in the hospitals, which means I take care of these people. I wanted to be a doctor, so I was 4 or 5 years old. I've been in pageants my mom put me in pageants.
Yeah, I did my daughter too. Little baby. So I
really enjoyed it, meeting all the girls and just getting to know each other. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's so much. And so I also wanted to, we'll talk a little bit more, and hopefully you'll be on the upcoming shows as well, and you can talk more about what you do, that you're interested in pageants, all kinds of information that we can learn from. What is your platform, Pamela?
So my platform, actually, so I'm a plastic surgeon. Obviously, we change a lot of people's breast size, and so we all have bras. Previously, I had bras that no longer fit me. My age group, but you can't donate them to Goodwill or Salvation Army. When I found out that the mess did by some time, and then mass bras as well as so I see so many women coming to my office and created a whole collection system for women's shelters.
That's awesome. I'm glad you found that information out. You put it to use. Yeah. Anyway, this is half hour going too fast. So anyway, but thank you for sharing that information. I wanted to go into Nathan Hutchins. His name, the stage name is NJ, and he has a song. He's from London, UK. At the famous Abbey Road studio, Starkle, where the Beatles used to record, and he recorded this song over there. So it's called Let's Go. Could you play that over there at the station?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Anyway, we have a very... But anyway, we do have another song, Promises, by my friend. Susan is his manager, and they both own the Rutledge Media Group. He's quite into the film. He's winning awards for the film. He now wants to have his blockbuster movie for the Kung Fu movie. He's asking for $25 million. I'm trying to make that happen for him, and I'm working with Susan to get investors for that. So I wanted to play that last song for him. It's called Promises. But is there anything else you'd like to add, Leslie? Is there something you want to share about your platform, anything?
Sure. Is that I work with underserved patients that don't have any insurance. I work in a free Christian-based clinic that I can help take there. And I just, my platform to help raise awareness about how the uninsured Americans that we have and how nurses and physicians just mention how we can come together to try to
it's amazing, some of the platforms, you know, the good that you can do to those platforms. Might as well hunger, so I, you know, donate my time and go to the kitchen. So anyway, as far as Randall, he was the victim of the Catholic Jews, and he can't be with us because he has the stuff. And, but his dream that is to have this movie come to shoot. There's many others too that he has. But this one he wants, now. He wants to like to see it. And, so anyway, let's go ahead and play, Promises for him. Thank you so much. My VIP guests are amazing. And happy birthday, Lee! All right, God bless. Bye. All right, let's hear Promises.
Promises weren't meant to be broken, although I've broke a few. But one thing I can guarantee, never break a promise to you. Never break a promise to you. I'll give you my heart and I'll give you my soul. Give you a love that's true. All you gotta do is give me your hand. Never break a promise to you. Never break a promise to you. Well, I know others have come along, broke your heart in two. All you gotta do is give me your heart. Never break a promise to you. Never break a promise to you. I know we were meant to be from heaven above. All you gotta do is give me your love. Never break a promise to you. Never break a promise to you. I'll give you my heart and I'll give you my soul. Give you a love that's true. All you gotta do is give me your hand. Never break a promise to you. Never break a promise to you. Now we're getting ready to walk down the aisle, about to say I do. Soon as that preacher says kiss the bride, I'll never break a promise to you. Never break a promise to you. I'll give you my heart and I'll give you my soul. Give you a love that's true. All you gotta do is give me your hand. Never break a promise to you. Never break a promise to you. Never break a promise to you. Oh, I will never break a promise to you.
Yay! Okay, everybody, bye!